Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Well, it is an absolute joy to be here celebrating our risen Lord and Savior. So something I've been thinking about recently is just the fact that I tend to gravitate toward things that aren't good for me. We'll start with junk food, but I mean, it's incredible. It seems like you take a look at so many facets of life, and it's just like the thing that if I'm just on autopilot, doing whatever I'm doing and not really thinking about it, if I slow down and think about it, then I start to realize this is not good. It's like not good to the point of, you know, if I carry on with this, it's like really going to cause problems for me, for my family. And yet, if I'm not watching, that's where I gravitate. And so I've been kind of thinking about that and just like, why is that? Why do I need reminders to do what I know to be for the best? To do what I know to be good for me and good for those around me. Why do I need those reminders? Like, it seems like it should be something that's like natural, you know, breathing, you know, you don't have to think about it and it's good and you do it. Why is it that the choices that matter, those things, if I'm going to make a good one, I really have to think it through hard, because just left to my own, I just whoop, right off course into something that really isn't that great. There's a singer named NF, and in one of his songs called Lost, I thought he put this pretty well. I don't want to be overdramatic, but look at the data. It's obvious that humans are fragile. We tend to get mad at the ones that call us out, but the fact is we need someone that'll be honest when we fly off the handle. All of us have made defensive scarecrows that we scatter around our fields and treat like heroes when they scare away the things that we should cherish, because we're too embarrassed to admit the fear is that we're lost. I thought that was really well said. Just that, you know, we not only gravitate toward things that aren't that great for us, but actively push away what we know to be good. And all along, the whole thought is just, I don't really want to admit that things really aren't where they should be. I don't really want to think about this. And so, you know, in the Bible, it talks about that, you know, we have a sinful nature. And my goodness, if we ever needed an indicator for that, this is it. Like, just that gravitating toward things that aren't that great. Something else that goes along with this, though, as we also tend to drift back toward what we had been saved out of. Christ very graciously saves us. That's what we're talking about here on Easter. Why this is so exciting is he makes it possible for us to live free from the tyranny of sin. And yet, if we're not thinking about it, we tend to drift back toward that. So I'm not alone in this. If you look in Galatians, actually, I don't think I have this one in the notes. Galatians 4, verses 8 and 9. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Galatia, and he says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? We also see in the Old Testament the same thing. Pastor Ron talked earlier about the Israelites being led out of slavery, and yet it didn't take all that long, and they started talking about, you know, back in Egypt, we had melons we could eat. That was pretty fantastic. Maybe we should go back there. Totally overlooking the slavery aspect of things, right? And again, you know, this is what we tend toward is discounting the downsides and looking at the positives of something that we know isn't good. So our lead verse today, Galatians 5, verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not be encumbered once more by a yoke of slavery. So, this Easter, I would like to talk through and really cherish the salvation that we've been given by taking a look at what have we been saved from. Eventually, I'd really like to do a second part, which is what are we saved for, which, man, if you haven't sat down and thought about that, it's exciting stuff. But for today, we're going to take a look at what are we saved from. So starting out here, chasing what won't satisfy. If we stop and think about it, this is really where we live most of our lives. Pursuing things that, in the end, don't really matter and don't satisfy. And, you know, we'll chase after one thing, chase after another, and end result is, have we gone much of anywhere? Have we accomplished much of anything that truly matters and that is truly good? Well, that's a struggle. I don't know if you've ever seen a little child that's like out of sorts. Right? It's remarkable. It's like no matter what they're doing, they are bent on doing it wrong and causing a ruckus. You know, like you're standing at the stove, you're trying to cook something, and they just really need to touch that hot pot, right? And you shoot them away a few times, you finally redirect them, go over here, play with the blocks. You're no sooner back at the stove and they're throwing the blocks at the window, they're throwing the blocks at their sibling, and that you could just go on and on. Like it's just this walking mess. And apart from Christ, guys, that's us. I you know, moving from one thing to the next and just knowingly walking into things that create a mess. In Isaiah 57, verses 20 and 21, the Bible says, "But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and its waters toss up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." And again, apart from Christ, this is where we live. And this has been an issue from antiquity. If you look in Ecclesiastes, Solomon talked about this. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 14, "I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind." And so just this pursuit of things that, in the end, it doesn't matter. It doesn't satisfy. Unfortunately, this leads a lot of people to a lot of despair. And again, we are remembering, what have we been saved from? We don't have to live in that despair. William Shakespeare says, "Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing." Yeah, ooh, that's dark. but again, guys, apart from Christ, where are we? What are we doing? Again, we don't really want to look into this and talk about it that much, but it's not a happy place. Self-righteousness. This is yet another one. I don't know about you guys, but I tend toward basically just the carte blanche, give me some of all of it, you know. So I definitely fall into this if left to my own devices. It is incredible My ability to look at myself and go, I'm doing pretty good, and if I actually look at things, well, am I dealing with my heart? Am I dealing with what's going on in here? Mostly it's trying to address outside behavior. And the problem is, it's a fool's game. You can try to address outside behavior, but if the inside's not dealt with, the inside comes out at some point. Moreover, guys, we're not the ones who determines what righteousness is or not. God is, and it's a high bar. Thankfully. Anyway, we'll get to that in a little bit. All right, so Proverbs 30, verse 12. There are those who are clean in their own eyes, but are not washed of their filth. And again, talking about focusing on the outside and not dealing with the inside. So during Jesus' time, there was a group called the Pharisees that made this their life's goal, to have a fantastic outside appearance. But again, apart from Christ, we can't deal with what's going on inside. And Jesus calls them out on it. Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. So ultimately, the issue here is slavery to sin, the inside that's not dealt with. I liken it to a beautiful house with a creepy basement, and it's just like, don't open that door. But again, where do we live, guys? I mean, so often it's just like, I would rather go through life and not think about these things and just kind of like, that's over there. And yet, is that good? Like, that's a good way to deal with things, just ignore them? Hang on, I need a little bit of water. So I spent my teenage years in Zambia. If you're not familiar with that, so if you picture Africa with the hump here, all the way down at the bottom is South Africa. You go up a country, and then you either get to Botswana or Zimbabwe, and you go up another country, and then you're in Zambia. That's where we lived for a few years. And the attics there are solely for ventilation. Like, they don't have access for, storing stuff or anything like that. It's all sealed off-ish. And then air flows through there to kind of help keep the house cooler. During our time there, we started to notice some sounds of some animal up in the attic. And after a while, we started to realize not only could you hear this animal moving around, but you could hear its tail dragging behind it. So we moved before we ever found out what our mystery friend was up in the attic. I suppose make things a bit more bearable, we nicknamed it Fluffy. So, we'd hear this thing moving around. Well, there goes Fluffy. After we moved, came back to the States, some friends of ours that lived there actually had, I guess, a similar thing. They had what's known as a water monitor lizard. And it was up in their attic, and it got large enough that it came through their ceiling and landed on them in bed. All right, so I've got a picture of a water monitor. That's the guy there. And just for an understanding of scale, let's go to the second one. Yes. Yes. So imagine waking up in the morning with one of those in your lap. All right. Thank you. That's good for the picture. Okay. So here's the deal, guys. We want to ignore and set aside and say, well, just don't look over there. That doesn't mean that things go away. And kind of like Fluffy, things can get pretty large and out of control. This is what Christ saved us from. Slavery to sin is most clearly seen in addiction. I assume all of us have been around somebody or perhaps been addicted to some sort of sin ourselves. And you see this scenario where this person doesn't want to admit that there's a problem at all, and yet everyone around them is just like, this is out of control. And it's not a good place to be. We'll get another quote from a band. This is Project 86, and a song titled Chimes. This was written by the lead singer talking about his addiction to alcohol. And I really appreciate the honesty in this song. I hear a voice speaking softly amidst the breathing, an invitation to a place where hearts are beating, to a place where your dreams are made, where songs are played, where drinking never ceases and no dismay. I'm pushing my senses away to take another step, my conscience aware of my heart's intent. I feel a whisper, a friendly voice start to rise. Indulge to your heart's content, pay no mind. Tomorrow is a lifetime away, this is here. The time is now, so there's nothing to fear. Later on in the song, he realizes just how trapped he's become. And he says, and now I'm owned by my lifeless stare, my shelves are bare. I'm dreaming about the second chance to go back, rewind the clock, and attempt a playback. And then he gets to the bridge, which is my favorite part of the song. It's a hard rock song, and I figured I was kind of wanting to play it, but I don't think anybody wants someone screaming at them on Sunday morning. So he says, winds blowing, sounds ringing, mind racing, soul dying, night falling, tears flowing, you lied to me. And of course, you lied to me. I love the emotion of it. If you've ever been in such a position of recognizing I am trapped by sin, it's not a pleasant place to be. Again, thank God for Jesus. Once again, what I appreciate about this song is he talks about, yes, he was lied to, but at the same time, he kind of knew what he was doing, and he went ahead and took that step, right? That's what we do. Proverbs 5, verses 22 and 23. An evil man is held captive by his own sins. There are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great foolishness. And guys, again, apart from Christ, that's us. So the next thing I was thinking about, and again, this is not a conclusive list, and you've probably already noticed there's a lot of overlap, but this is what I had to talk about, so. Next thing, the wrath of God. Nobody ever really wants to hear about this, or it's kind of along the lines of the to think about. Okay, not only there is my sin, which I'd really rather not mess with, but then there is a God who created this world, who created me, and who has a purpose and plan for the way things are supposed to be and does hold us accountable when we willfully choose to not do what we were created to do. So I've recently been, I found a few videos that I found very, honestly kind of entertaining. Police body cam videos, right? And so they're sitting by the side of the road. This car just absolutely blows by them. And they go, pull the person over, and this person is just belligerent the entire time. "Boy, you don't have anything better to do today?" You know, and just laying it on. And the police officer's like, "No, I'm not just going to let that be." And give me my ticket and I'll be on my way. "Sir, I need you to step out of the car." "I'm not getting out of this car." "Sir, you're going to get out of that car." And it turns into this whole fiasco. The guy's just like, "Well, you don't have the right." And the police officers, "Sir, you were doing 120 and a 55. You don't get a ticket. You go to jail." And it ends up with, like, they have to break the guy's window, cut his seatbelt, drag him out of the car. Just this whole to-do, because he cannot accept the fact that actually that police officer does have the authority to call him out on what's going on there. And what that guy was doing was not okay. Right? And there's a side of me that definitely gets some satisfaction to see this belligerent jerk, you know, just like, "That's right." You know? But again, guys, the fact of the matter is, that is us. We do things that we know are not okay, and but for the grace of Christ and his salvation, him dying for us on the cross, there will come a day, and no amount of "you can't tell me what to do" will suffice. He absolutely has the right to tell us what to do. And our sin is not okay. Romans 14, verse 12. "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Hebrews 4, verses 12 and 13. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." Hebrews 9:27. "It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment." Now, this is Easter morning, and this is why we celebrate. He didn't leave it there. That is what we deserve, but that's not the end of the story. So Hebrews 9, verses 26 through 27, tells a fuller story of that last one that I just read. "As it is, he, Christ, has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him." I don't know about you guys, but this is why I'm here celebrating today. That is it. He extends grace to us. So Hebrews 4, so just after that spooky section about, the word of God divides and sees and we have to give account, is this. "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So I really, really love these verses. They show, first off, our sin is not okay. But then just like can't wait to, but there's more. And just God's goodness. And the offer that he gives us because of Jesus dying for our sins. And again, that's what we're here celebrating. Jesus frees us from the tyranny of sin. So as we discussed, sin is cancerous and rooted more deeply than we want to admit. We want to keep it in that spooky basement and try to forget. But he frees us. He frees us from that tyranny. John 8, 31 through 34. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham. We've never been a slave to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." Very similar vein, Romans 6, 16. "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are a slave of the one to whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness?" And again, just looking at the marvelous salvation that we've been given, not only did Jesus pay for our sins, he also gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can deal with the things inside. Galatians 5:16, I don't think that's in the notes. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. He makes that possible. We have to be pursuing him and desiring that in our life, but seeking him. But he makes it available. He freely gives us the righteousness we could never deserve. This is one of my favorite scriptures, John 6, 28 and 29. Then they asked him, so they were talking to Jesus, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And, you know, I don't know if you've ever asked that question. I've asked it several times. Let's lay it out. What do I need to do? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent." We really don't have a lot. It's just clinging to him. He is our only hope. The Apostle Paul, in thinking about these things and talking about them, looks in Philippians 3, verses 8 and 9. He says, "Indeed, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him." So again, recognizing, okay, the pursuit of all these things, that's just, it is pointless. Let me pursue Christ. Having be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. He allows us to be who we were made to be. This is something that I didn't realize for a long time. Like, I don't know, I guess you kind of have this mindset of just, well, you know, Jesus is kind of a killjoy, and if I become a Christian, then, you know, I'll have to give up the fun things and do boring stuff. And it can't be further from the truth. The joy found in Christ and in him working in us to get rid of the junk that doesn't satisfy, and instead to become more and more who he created us to be. It's an act of restoration, and it's marvelous. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And going on to Matthew 7, verses 24 through 25. Everyone, then, who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. So again, not pursuing the empty things that truly do create havoc in our lives, and instead building our lives on him and on his word. So in conclusion, you guys see that time? That's awesome. All right. In conclusion, we need these reminders to focus on what's good. And so that's what I wanted to talk about today, that we not just be on autopilot and drift back toward the things that we were saved from, that slavery that we don't have to have in our lives because of Christ. And, you know, be alert, pay attention. What's going on in your life? And don't, let's see, what was that lead verse? Where'd it go? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not be encumbered once more by a yoke of slavery. Final verse, again, not in your notes. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Happy Easter.
What a rich word. Let's stand. Thank you, brother. You know, God has expectations. He has a design, and when we flow in his design, things kind of go well. And when we say, I'm going to go my own way, I got a better way of doing things, then we wonder, you know, why we crash and burn, why we're perpetually dissatisfied and always wanting more. And there's a real simplicity with that. You know, God makes things simple because we're simple people. And if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And then after you're saved, you continue to believe. You continue to embrace. You just kind of stick close to Jesus, realizing that we don't bring a lot to the table. He's already done everything for us, and we just kind of stay close to him. Kind of, you know, if you imagine like a ship, he's the captain of it, just stay in the boat. Sometimes it's tough, sometimes you get distracted, but you stay close, that ship's going all the way. And there's a peace, there's a security. While everything else in the world is insecure. And so that was just a good reminder. God has saved us, and again, if you're not saved, you don't bring much to the table, none of us bring anything. We believe on Jesus. And that's how a person is right with God. Lord, I just ask today that as we have received your truth, may we be set free, may we walk in that light, and let us just continue to be thankful for what the great work that you've done for us, what you extend to us, and to receive, not be stubborn, not to be defiant, and to go against your design. I pray a blessing upon each person here. May they go in peace and joy. And may we all just continue to look to you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Blessings upon you.